Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 60 of Nerd Pride Radio. 60? Holy crap, how useful is 60? Divisible by 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? God, if I had no concept of fractions at all, I would love this number too. For say, I don't know, my measurements of time, or maybe angular measures. Thank you, Babylonians. Also, 60 to 1 is the ratio of kosher to non-kosher foods that render the final product still kosher. So, if you're a devout Jew, you can eat a crab leg, but only if you throw it in a blender with 60 Hebrew National hot dogs first. So ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, there's probably like 7 other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. By the way, saying D&D/Pathfinder just makes it that much more nerdy, doesn't it? I as I heard it playing back last week, I realized, yeah, that's nerdy. You're listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, you're listening to the best-smelling podcast on the internet. That's right, Nerd Pride Radio smells exactly like a steak quesarito from Taco Bell. Oh, don't give me that judgment. I know it's Taco Bell. It's not even real meat, right? Whatever, whatever. I have avoided Taco Bell since college. We went there, you know, you can get your 10-pack of tacos, or whatever it was, and it just wasn't that good. It never filled me up. It was never, you know, it's cheap, but so what? What good is cheap if you have to buy 20 of them, really? And then somehow, I don't know what happened in the last month, they finally lured us back in, and we went and tried Taco Bell one night for God knows what reason. And if you've got to eat fast food, it ain't bad. I mean, now, I couldn't eat it on a weekly basis, I don't think. I think once a month or once every couple of months is maybe about the right proportion, because honestly, go look over their menu. They have 800 items on their menu that are all essentially the exact same ingredients, just placed in a different order. So, But man, those quesaritos are good. I mean, you know, for junk food, really good. Not good on my diet, but you know what? Whole family eats there for pennies. So, you know, you can't go wrong. Anyway, it's time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list in my handy-dandy pocket mod, and the best stuff off that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. So, right into the master list. First things up, as usual, updates. First off, my weight is 259. I don't know how much weight loss that is from last week. I think 2 pounds, 3, well, something like that. I'm just going to go with the total now. So I have now lost a total of 15 pounds over the last 5 weeks. And that is 15 pounds means I am 5 pounds away from everyone starting to comment on it and telling me, wow, have you lost some weight? What have you been doing? Yeah. Now for most people, you lose 10 pounds, people will start to notice, but since I already weigh, you know, I started this at 275-ish, it takes a larger chunk for people to realize that something's missing. So we're getting there. I feel really good about it. Things are still going well, even with the Taco Bell last night. Still, lost weight this morning, right on track. But there's more important things than that. Second update is Minecraft. I talked about the lava last week and my quest for infinite lava, and after trying oh, so many things. I mean, literally, I built this staircase set of towers so that I could have lava falling from various heights into pits or off of different stones or whatever. It doesn't matter. My experimental method came up with nothing. So finally I gave up and I went and I just looked it up on the internet and said, how do I make infinite lava? And Elsa says, oh yeah, with the latest update, you can't make infinite lava anymore. Damn, there's no infinite lava in Minecraft. I mean, not that I can't just go to Nether and there's, you know, seas of lava there. But boy, gathering lava out of that is just such a pain. I would rather just have it in my house. But oh well, such is life, right? And then the last update is Snake. All right, here's the deal. Last week I got up to 700 was my new high score last week. I was talking about how I am well on my way. I've covered half of the board. Right after that, I spent the entire week playing 2-3 times a day. And every single time, I have never once gotten over 260 is maybe my best score in the last week, because I've gotten overconfident. This is the same pattern I go through with all video games, is that, you know, I struggle, I get better. And then just when I'm getting to the point where I think I've got the hang of this thing, I get overconfident and I get impatient. That's the big thing, is the impatience. I wind up thinking that I am way more clever, way better at this game than I actually am. And so I start to hurry through the beginning parts of the level, because it's really, the beginning parts are easy. You just want to zip through those quick and get to where it's starting to challenge you. And that zipping through quick is the part that gets me. And I wind up tanking every time, and I tell myself to slow down and then I can't because, oh, it's just taking so long. Which, okay, maybe you guys don't know. I don't know how old most of you are. If you're 40-something like me and you started playing video games back in the 80s or 70s even, you'll remember that video games used to not have save points. And so when you died and your game was over, you started over from the very beginning and played through to try and get to the point where you left off and then see if you could surpass it. And that's what Snake does. Modern games, yeah, you know what? If you die, you just start maybe at the last checkpoint, which is what? Just a few spaces back? Who cares? You know what? So you guys don't, maybe if you're young enough, you don't have this experience. But it's frustrating. Really frustrating. So today, this morning, I said to myself, there's no way I can come to this podcast and tell them that I can't score over 260 for the entire week. That is ridiculous. So I did a little meditation, got my act together. I sat down and said, look, I'm just going to take my time. None of this zigging and zagging, nothing. It's Snake. I'm going to do big, loopy squares, pick stuff up. If I miss it, don't worry. I'll go back around the board. I'll come back to it. And my Zen came back. I was in a complete Zen state. It worked perfectly. Which, by the way, it was Zen's birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Zen. But that's beside the point. I got into this, I don't know, where you're in the zone with a game. And I wound up getting to 470. Okay. Not bad. 470 is at least respectable. And then, just before I started recording here, I decided to play one more game. And this is like the only two I've played today. I got 470. And I decided to try one more time, and I got up to 650, 635, something like that. So, okay, I haven't broken my old record, but I'm back in the zone. So hopefully, oh man, perfect Snake, it's coming. You'll know it when it happens, because you'll hear me yell from where you are. Trust me. It'll be awesome. But that's enough updates. Updates. Let's go right to...
Oh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
My science corner. Yeah, that music means if you don't walk away now, you might be in danger of learning something. What do I have in the science corner today? Oh, the Triton. The Triton is a device that I saw on Twitter reported, of all people, by Pee Wee Herman. Pee Wee Herman posts up this link to the Triton. You go look at it, and it is this slick-looking device. Oh, you want one of these. The Triton is a breathing mask that you put over your mouth and nose, clamp down on it, and it's like a scuba mask, except instead of an air tank, it just has these two bars that come off the side, like handlebars off the front of your mask, except the handlebars have these really cool scale shapes coming off of it. I don't know, it's very Aquaman-esque. It's really cool. And the whole point of it is it runs on batteries, so you've got that. But as long as you've got batteries, this sucker will simply filter oxygen directly out of the water. All right? You can breathe as long as you have batteries. Holy crap. So rather than relying on an air tank, you could now suddenly be breathing for hours upon end without having to come up because it's all right there. It's all self-contained. Now, there's two problems with that. One, it did not address the issue of, isn't scuba, when you do the deep diving, aren't scuba tanks pressurized? So you're getting pressurized air into your lungs. I mean, if I don't have that pressure coming from the tank, can I still breathe normally underwater? Can I still inhale with all that pressure on my chest? Do I need the tank? I don't know how it works. I honestly have no clue how any of that works. So maybe this is a stupid question to even ask. But it didn't address anything about that because I see no mechanism for pressurizing, putting any pressure behind the air coming into your lungs. So I don't know. But more disconcerting than that was when you finally get to the end of the article, oh, no, this is all conceptual. The guy hasn't actually built anything. He doesn't have a prototype. He doesn't have a working model. This is clearly a very slick concept and very slick picture, because the picture makes it look badass. And the whole thing is clearly this is someone's proposal in order to get funds. This is what he's doing. The guy has done nothing yet. He has a concept that he thinks could work, but really he hasn't actually started on it yet. So there's nothing there. This is nothing but someone did. I mean, this report, which I see a headline and it tells me that, oh, breathing underwater without tanks. Holy crap. That's awesome. But really when you get through it, the entire report is really, hey, someone thinks this might be cool. Do you think this might be cool? Oh my God, I think this might be cool, but that's it. There's nothing behind it. Worthless. Which is, and this isn't anything I wanted to make a full nerd rage out of or anything. But it is a problem that I have with science journalism in particular. I mean, you guys have probably heard me talk. I have no idea. I know we've talked about it on the boards, but science journalism is really all about, like any journalism nowadays, or, well, 99.9% of journalism nowadays, it's about what's going to get clicks and saying, hey, guy thought of cool idea. That's not going to get you any clicks, but saying, oh my God, underwater breathing apparatus right around the corner. You know, it's, you know, like every little minor physics discovery. The first thing that people ask is, ooh, is this going to allow us to fly faster than light? Ooh, does this mean teleportation might be real? When that has nothing to do with what's going on. That's all, anyway. So it was just annoying. There was another example that I had to go with that, but oh, that's what? Solar freaking roadways. Have you seen that? If you have not seen it, I'm amazed. How can you possibly be traveling nerd circles on the internet without having someone throw solar freaking roadways in your face? But if you haven't, go watch the video. It's easy to find. Just look up solar freaking roadways on YouTube. And they look spectacular. All right. Until someone with a cooler head sat down and said, you know what? These aren't just far future. They're so far future that we can't even conceive of how we could possibly make this work in a real world. We have no idea how you could possibly, with the technology we currently have and the technology that we can see ourselves having in the next, you know, 2-3 decades, we don't see how you can possibly make this work. But, you know, cool idea if you wanted to spend, you know, billions upon billions for roads that may crumble on you. So anyway, again, it's someone taking a cool idea and people reporting on it as if it's real and, annoying. But you know what? You know, let's not bring this podcast down. I don't have a whole lot of time today. This is going to be a short episode. So I'm going to go through, I've just got a few things off the master list here. I'm going to go through those pretty quick and then we're just going to ride out the Podomatic with R2 until I run out of time. So without wasting any more time, oh wow. Apparently, don't, darn it. I missed my cue. You know what? I should edit that out, but I'm not gonna. How's that for wasting time? Let me start over. My next one. Oh no, get the little ones out of the room. Make sure you're sitting down for this.
Nerd rage came flashing back, and I just looked at him and went, Rrr!
That's right. It's time for some actual nerd rage. I say actual because, you know, the last one wasn't a real nerd rage. These two, I have two of them, aren't even really that big a rage right this moment. The first one is feminism in gaming, feminism in general. There's been a lot of stuff, there's been a lot of stuff out in the news with the video game industry and Quinngate, if you are familiar with that term, and you can go look all the stuff up. Zoe Quinn is the person at the center of it, who I'm completely convinced did nothing, absolutely nothing. This whole thing is honestly, horrific sexism and misogyny, within certain quarters of the gaming industry, rearing its ugly head over absolutely nothing. It's a rage generated out of crap. And so, I don't have anything particular I want to say about it other than I think it's all garbage. You guys know I've done, some bits on sexuality and gender roles and stuff like that, especially in gaming, and a topic that is dear to me, and I'm very fascinated by it, but I don't have any really coherent thoughts on this one, because there is so much out there right now. I mean, go look literally anywhere on the internet and you're going to find links to something on this topic. And lots of people have said lots of things about it, some of them way better than I could. So, you can certainly find the opinions out there. But the one concern I have, the one thing that is highest in my mind right now that I find absolutely bizarre is we've reached a day and age now where racism is not gone. I'm by no means stating that we've conquered racism. Yay for us. We have a black president. Everything's better now. Racism is still alive and well. But we have reached a point where the educated people of this world all recognize, and even the uneducated people of this world, even people who actively say racist crap, will recognize immediately that that's not acceptable anymore. It's not just not politically correct. It's not acceptable to be racist. It's not acceptable to say that stuff and mean it. I mean, there's still a lot of people who are willing to do racist jokes for shock value or racist jokes because it's just among friends and you know I'm just kidding and whatever, whatever. I still think all that's out of line as well. But racism has gotten to a point where, in general, American society agrees that ain't cool, dude. All right? It still goes on and there's still plenty of people willing to use all sorts of slurs on the internet about it. But it's getting better. Homophobia, I almost feel like, gays, lesbians, transgender, et cetera, et cetera. And I apologize to the et ceteras for lumping you into that group. It just, the terminology is not tripping off my tongue today. But I feel like gender and sexuality issues are almost getting to that point too, where, dude, not cool. Seriously. There's still a good chunk of our society that still feels that it's an evil sin and they should be condemned just for being who they are, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like it's progressing. And yet women, you would think at half the population, slightly over half the population, you would think that women would have gotten to this state sooner. I think we're just now, really starting to see a surge in dude, not cool. And it's only a little. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of it in the circles I travel in on the internet, because people, anyway, but it's like we've seen this before. It's not like, you know, feminism is, you know, it's not like suffrage didn't begin in what? Women's suffrage, looking for the right to vote. I mean, they started this 150, 200 years ago. Got real serious over 100 years ago. All right. Feminism and the ERA. I mean, what was that? That was 40 years back. That was in the 60s and 70s mostly, I think. I don't know. That was when I was a baby. And yet here we are now, and it's still cool in some areas to have this absolute rage over women being women, and somehow you're able to justify it for some higher cause or higher purpose that, oh no, it's not because she's a woman, and yet you don't do the same stuff for, anyway, I didn't want to delve into this too deeply. It's just bizarre to me, baffling to me that we aren't further along than we are. I mean, there's something so profoundly wrong with this. And, if you want to really anger yourself, really read any article about feminism, any article that addresses this feminism in gaming, the problem with treating women equally in games, the problem with, read any article about it, and then go read the comments. That's, you can read the comments on any one of them, and the comments will be about half misogynistic, swearing, horrible, name-calling accusations, terrible, terrible stuff. And I understand that most of the internet consists of that, if you look, but this is just, it's over the top. All right, you know what? I'm gonna keep feminism and feminism in gaming. I'm gonna keep it on my master list. I don't know when I'm gonna get back to it. I'm gonna put it right there next to the universe as a topic that I've got to do some research. I've got to form some real opinions. I've got to come back to, but I will come back to it. Let's table that. My other nerd rage is, oh yeah, this one. What is with this trend of smartphone commercials where the selling point for their smartphone is, hey, get our phone and our service. It'll be easier for you to be a dick to everyone around you. Really? I mean, it's encouraging the college student who's come home for Thanksgiving and, oh my God, having to sit at the Thanksgiving table and listen to my relatives talk about things. Oh dear God. Thank you. Thank you for letting me have my phone under the table so I can tune everybody in the world out. It's encouraging the worst of behaviors. Well, that's not the worst of behaviors, I suppose. You're having your phone out at the Thanksgiving table is probably way down the list. It's got to be at least number 3 or 4 on worst things ever, but it's still pretty bad, right? Similarly, the selling the new NFL, the football package, so you can get all the games streaming to your phone, blah, blah, blah. And all the commercials for it are basically, oh God, but I have to go be at my kid's soccer game today. I have to go spend time with my children. Well, don't worry. While you're there, you can completely ignore them and watch every NFL game this season right there on your phone. Not only will you get to ignore your children and watch this game, you'll be a hero to all the other men around you who wish that they could ignore their children. You jackasses. Jackasses! Oh, drives me crazy. I don't even think I need to go any further than that. I just think, What a horrible way that's your selling point. This is how you sell your product. Telling you not only do you get to treat everyone around you like crap, but you will be celebrated for it. You're a hero. You know what's next? I'm too sexy for my forums. Too sexy for my forums. The way I'm disco dancing. You can't see it, but I'm waving my arms over my head and dancing as I sing that. It's really cool. You guys would think, my God, that guy's got some moves. Yeah, I do. This segment is called Right Said Thread. And this is where I pick up stuff off my forums that I thought was funny. And I read it off to you guys so that I don't actually have to write real material. And this is the whole Palpatine thing from last episode. Do it. All right. I love this joke. I cannot stop making this joke. My kids are coming up with really some surprisingly good ones. Just when I think I've run through the entire alphabet, I've done everything I can possibly do. Oh, no, no, no. There are some combinations I never thought of. Apparently, there are so many consonant blends that you could do this forever. And so Ronster has gone the extra mile. Ronster not only started a thread on my forums called Hey Palpatine, where he started out with one and now everybody's kind of pitching in. He also on Twitter started the hashtag Hey Palpatine specifically for Hey Palpatine jokes, which, by the way, every Hey Palpatine joke that we've put on Twitter so far, we also include a tag for Game Grumps, because this was really their bit initially, and all credit to them for coming up with this. It hysterical to me. And I don't know why. It's just puns. It's just stupid wordplay. It's just finding something that rhymes with do it and making your joke. That's all there is. And yet, I find it hysterical. So, the very best of the thread that I have going on my forums, from Eliahad. Oh man, Palpatine, I'm not sure I should have had that last drink. Spew it. All right, from Lucy. Palpatine, how did they escape from the cuckoo's nest? Flew it. This one's from my kids, and I posted it up on the boards myself. But my kids came up with, Palpatine, my driver's license is about to expire. Renew it. I love that one. Ronster himself came up with, hey, Palpatine, the facts about the Empire will reveal your very true nature. What should I do? Misconstrue it. And then, actually, my very, very favoritest, my brother Kyle just put this one up. I would never have come up with this in a million years. Palpatine, what method of execution should we use on Zap Brannigan? Snoo-snoo it. Oh, good reference. So, there you go. That's right, said thread. And that is the end of the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. See, I told you it was going to be quick. And now, there's nothing left but the pod-o-matic. Yeah. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio pod-o-matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out pod-o-matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you, the loyal listener, comes in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, or for that matter, you could send me a private message on Twitter, whatever they call private direct message, DM, is that it? Okay, you send it to me on Twitter. I'll still get it. I will add it to my Podomatic list. Podomatic is about whatever you want it to be. And our first number here is 85. And I don't have the Podomatic list up at all, so entertain yourselves. I am starting, see, you know what? It would be great if I could think of two things at once, and then I would have a conversation with you about something else entirely while I'm clicking and looking for the Podomatic, but I'm not smart enough to do that. So we will now pretend that I had it up the entire time. We'll cut out all that middle section, and oh, God, see, I didn't even randomize it. Hold on. That's not fair. And make sure we randomize the list. And get, oh God, I didn't do any kind of cleanup at all. I am so bad at this game. Hold on. All right, delete the old entries. Randomize. Boom, we're done. All right, number 85. It's from Zimny. Well, hey, Zim. And this is, I'm sure I've done this one before. This has to be a repeat, but it's fast, so we'll do it again. Zimny asks, how fast can you say the alphabet backwards? ZYXWVUTSRQPONMLKJIHGFEDCBA. I don't know, a couple seconds. There you go. I learned that from Sesame Street when I was a kid. I practiced it until I had it down pat. Now, yeah, pretty fast. I could have probably done it faster than that. That's, you know, if I ever have to do a drunk test for the police, and Lord knows I don't drink, so I can't imagine the situation in which I'm going to wind up having to take a drunk test. But if it ever happens, that's just the little fantasy in my head, is that he asks me to say the alphabet backwards. Well, guess what? I could be stinking drunk and I'd still have the alphabet down. That's not a problem. Although I don't think it's that they're looking for. It's watching your body reactions as your mind tries to think about stuff. I don't know. I'm no professional. I'm just guessing. You know what? We're done. Heck yeah. 38. 38 comes from Stan. Hey, Stan. Stan says, how many clown related skills unicycle, he lists them, unicycle, juggling, squirting people, etc. do you have? That is excellent. I cannot ride a unicycle, but you can well imagine it has been a lifelong dream of mine to be able to ride one, to be able to learn to do that. I would love to be able to do it. But I can't. So I can't do the unicycle. I can walk on stilts, but only very low ones, and I haven't done it in 20 years, so therefore, I probably can't do that anymore. Juggling, I am really good at juggling. At least I used to be really good at juggling, and with a little bit of practice, I could get most of that skill back. I juggle every once in a while, but I don't practice, so, you know, I'm not putting in a lot of work, but I can do some fairly decent stuff. And squirting people, is that even a talent? I'm pretty sure that's just a given for everybody. So I have a few. You know, I don't have the makeup skills. I do have a costume. I don't have the makeup skills, but I could learn those, and I can fall down pretty well. No, I probably can't. I'm getting old. Maybe not. So mostly right now it's just the juggling. That's really about it. 85. I know we did that one already. 85. All right, someone shake that thing up. There we go, 61. All right, 61 is from Kyle. And Kyle asks, we know that as men, the worst part of getting older is the parasites that populate your urethra getting bigger and laying larger eggs. Whoa, hold on. Let me make sure I'm reading this correctly, because this is some detailed stuff. Let's see. There we go. Sorry, I keep my screen kind of small, and I just want to make sure I'm not missing anything here. Well, that's not doing me any good, is it? There we go. All right. We know that as men, the worst part about getting older is the parasites that populate your urethra getting bigger and laying larger eggs. Look it up, kids. But what's the best part about getting older? Oh, okay. I got to the end of that. Okay, that's weird. The best part about getting older is that every part of my life that I get to is the best part of my life. I mean, honestly. You know, some people talk about their high school days or their college days as the halcyon days of youth. The there are things that I miss about being young. I miss being in junior high, high school, college, and having all the time in the world for gaming. But there's more to life than gaming. I mean, there's things that I miss. But in general, I wouldn't want to be in high school again. High school had so many issues that I was so stupid in high school. And I thought I was really, really smart. In fact, in general, over the course of my life, how smart I actually am versus how smart I think I am, in inverse proportion. I mean, seriously, now I know way more, and the more I learn, this is very Socratic, I guess, but the more I learn, the more ignorant I realize I am. The more I realize that I don't know everything and that I don't have a handle on everything and that I should really expect that something's going to prove me wrong, or I should expect that I'm going to be mistaken about certain things. I can't be certain about anything anymore. But again, so, you know, I wouldn't want to be back in high school. I wouldn't want to be back in college. I mean, college was a lot of fun. It was a nonstop party for a lot of it, but I don't want to be that guy again. I mean, yeah, I had fun partying. Yeah, I had fun hanging out with my friends, but I mean, struggling with classes and trying to figure out social life, relationships, living day to day on the tip money I got waiting tables, all sorts of stuff I don't want to go back to. Being a new parent and all the things I've learned since then, and being, like I say, Every year, every era of my adult life, I keep looking back going, wow, I was such an idiot back then. I am so glad I'm doing so much better now. God, just being at a point in your life where, hey, the furnace goes out. It's going to be a couple grand to get things fixed. A couple grand, I don't have to panic. I mean, it's not good. It's certainly not gonna be easy, but I also know that it's not gonna break me. We'll find a way to make that work. We can do that. Whereas, God, when I first got married and we need new tires for the car. It's gonna cost $250 to get four tires on there, which, God, can you imagine the day when you could put four tires on a car for $250? Jesus. But $250, we don't know where we're gonna get that. we have absolutely no way of coming up with $250. There's no way we can get these tires on. We're going to have to get it from somebody. We're going to have to borrow money. We're going to have to do, I mean, that's $250 and it panicked us. Now, and actually the furnace was $3,000 a couple of years ago. Was it the furnace? Yeah, it was the furnace. Oh God. Did I ever podcast around that time? Holy crap. The furnace was having problems. The furnace kept going out, and so I'd go downstairs and relight it. And then it would go out, and I'd go downstairs and relight it. So we realized we needed something done about it, and we wound up getting the guys to come in. And we knew that they were going to be there Monday to put the new furnace in. But all of a sudden, at one point in the night, the thing just locked on and wouldn't shut off. And it's the middle of winter. I mean, it's freaky cold out. So middle of winter, you know, it's below zero outside. And the furnace won't shut off. The house got up to 90-something degrees, and I had to get up, and we were afraid to turn it off, because we could have turned it off, but then we were afraid that when we turned it off, it wouldn't come back on again, and then we would really freeze. So here we are sweating at this 90 degrees, and I'm having to get up every couple of hours to go open all the doors in the house to let heat out, to let that cold air come in and chill us down, and then wait, and okay, good, good, good. We've got it down to about 80. Let's shut the doors again, go back to sleep. It was horrifying, absolutely horrifying. But again, you know, $3,000 for a new furnace sucked bad. We had to change a lot of plans. We had to work some stuff around. We had to, it's work, but we made it through it. I mean, you know, we can do that if we have to. So, again, there's just everything about my life gets better and better as I get older. And now I'm also getting to the point where my body's starting to fail me a little bit, especially those urethra parasites. He is not kidding about that. I don't know. It's not that important to me. I'm happy. I'm happy and I love my life. And I'm just, you know, every year I love my wife more. Every year I love my kids more. Every year we find new stuff to do, new things that make us happy. I can't complain. I like getting older. I mean, I don't like getting old, but I like the passage of time in that I like what experience does to me. That's the best part about getting older. Should I just have come up with a joke answer? That probably would have been better, but hey, you get what you get. These dice must be bigger than the old ones. Sometimes they just don't flip. 96. 96 is... I missed it entirely. There it is. 96 is again from Kyle. Ooh. Kyle's going to be the big winner of this episode. It says, you are destined to court and marry a Disney princess. Assume it's all age appropriate and there's nothing creepy about it. Ladies, who do you pick? If we didn't do this one, we did one almost exactly like it, but because the last one didn't ask age appropriate. The last one was from somebody else, but the same question. And the answer I came to was Rapunzel, ultimately, assuming it's all age appropriate. That's just my pick. All right, 16. 16 is from Lucy. Well, holy crow, I very rarely get Lucy questions. Lucy asks, would you rather be vain, greedy, or quick to anger? What if I'm all three? The complete package. Yeah. Would I rather be vain, greedy, or quick to anger? What an awesome anti-question. This is great. I'm going to pause to take a sip of my cool, refreshing Diet Dr. Pepper, and that'll give me time to think. Hold on. That's awesome. All right, well, let's talk it out. If I'm vain, if I am full of myself, I don't know that. You know what? None of these are good choices. I'm going to have to go with greedy. Because if I'm vain, being full of myself, and overly concerned with appearance, I'm not concerned with appearance. I'm not concerned, but although you can be vain about other things than just your physical beauty. But if I were a vain person, I would feel like I'm deceiving myself about myself. Even more than I already do. I may already be vain. Maybe I'm vain and I don't know it. Probably I am. But vain doesn't sound appealing to me at all. Greedy, See, greedy is not as bad. Greedy, yeah, okay, I'm taking, you know, desiring more than I deserve or more than I have or more than, okay, whatever, maybe that's not bad. Because I thought quick to anger, I mean, you know, to be passionate and have your emotions right out front and quick, okay, that's not so bad. But then I realized, no, quick to anger means the people around me suffer more. So as picking the lesser of these three evils, I guess the least of the three evils, lesser is only two. Picking the least of these three evils, I'm going to have to go with greedy, because I can't tolerate to know that I'm being self-deluded. I guess, although if I'm self-deluded, I don't know I'm deluded, because obviously that's the whole point of being self-deluded. But the idea of being vain just really doesn't work for me, and quick to anger is going to hurt people around me. Greedy will also hurt people around me, but I don't think to the same extent. I don't think greedy is going to hurt my immediate loved ones and immediate family as much as quick to anger. So greedy. Good question, Luce. Excellent. That is a 65, which is way down here somewhere. 65, Ronster. Ronster says, may I buy you a fish sandwich? Yeah, sure. I love a good fish sandwich. No tartar sauce on it, though. I got a thing for tartar sauce, but I don't mind a fish sandwich. I prefer breaded fish, crispy fish. I mean, you know, give me a Mrs. Paul's fish patty or fish plank, I guess, or, you know, even McDonald's filet of fish, or I don't care. But as long as it's breaded, yeah, you can buy me a fish sandwich anytime. That would be awesome. Is that from somewhere? You guys, hold on just a second. I feel like this might be a reference I'm missing. Not that I feel like I've heard it before, but maybe I'm missing something. So that's what Google is for, or at least the automatic search bar in Chrome, which is the same as Google. So, may I buy you a drink in French? May I buy you a drink in Spanish? May I buy you a may I buy you leads to how to say may I buy you a drink in other languages, because people are expecting they're going to need to have some pickup lines ready when they get to other countries. Even if they can't speak the language, they would like to know at least how to ask what your sign is. Holy crap. May I buy you a fish? Is this a pickup? Is that what this? Are you hitting on me, Ron? Because you know I'm married. I mean, I'm sure you're a very attractive man, but I'm not comfortable with this. May I buy you a fish sandwich? There we go. And fish sandwich, it's on YouTube. It's from the ladies man. Oh, damn it. So you don't want a fish sandwich, says Leon. All right, hold on. I got to watch the video now. You guys want to watch with me? Let's see what we get. Oh, shoot. I don't know if this is going to work at all. Yeah, when I'm recording, I can't get sound here. But this from the ladies' man. Oh my God. I loved hating that movie. That was a really horrible, horrible movie, but I love Tim Meadows, and I love the ladies man character. I really do. Ooh, it's a lady, which I should have said when Lucy's name came up. I should have. Speaking of feminism, I love the ladies man. I can't believe I didn't. I've only seen it the once, though. I watched it with my brother. We thought we would, you know, get drunk, watch the movie. I know I said I didn't drink earlier. I drink maybe twice a year. But I'm still not ever going to have to do the drunk test, because I certainly don't drive when I do it. Man, I'm sorry. I didn't get the reference, but I'm glad I looked it up. I was debating with myself and I finally decided I should, and I'm glad I did. So yes. Yeah, you can buy me a fish sandwich anytime. Excellent. 92. And 92 takes me to, why do I, oh, there it is. 92 is again from Stan. All right, we got a tie here. Stan says, are you still addicted to Cracked? Yeah, sorta. Cracked.com, I've really whittled it down. Like, yeah, I still stop at Cracked every day, but there's a lot of sites that I stop at every day. But Cracked is one that provides me with guaranteed daily content, like guaranteed 3 to 5 new articles every single day. And every time I go to Cracked, I will pick out of the two or three new articles. I usually open all but one of them, maybe all but two of them, depending on what the titles are. Because some of them, it's like, yeah, no, I've seen it before. Yeah, no, the same old crap. No, it's one of the crazy ones. And in general, I open up the article, I flip through the headlines to see if it's going to be anything that's worthwhile. And then maybe once in one of the articles each day on Crack, maybe I will actually read the whole article. But nah, you know what? I would say on average, I read a full Cracked article every other day. But I do check every day just to see if they've got anything interesting. So yeah, it's part of my regular rotation of internet stuff I look up. But no, I do not spend the amount of time on it like I used to. So for what that's worth. And where was that? Did I mark that one off? Yeah. Okay, there it is. Number 92. Good. 66 is from Talvin. What a variety we're getting today. Talvin says, what's your favorite first and or second edition AD&D game world? And conveniently, he provides a list because I've forgotten them. But it's not a complete list. Greyhawk, Dragonlance, Forgotten Realms, I assume Dark Sun is in there, and the Spelljammers? Was that the name of the series? The space traveling world? I don't remember. I never played that one. You can include the world from the D&D basic set as well. No, I wouldn't, though. Of the published first and second edition AD&D worlds, I'm a big fan of Greyhawk, really. But mostly because I played it for so long and made it my own. I didn't, I know that all of these worlds involved their own histories, their own ongoing storylines, their, you know, major cataclysmic events and things that happened with it. And I didn't use any of that. We had Greyhawk, which had really, really simple outlines of each region and nation in the box setup that I bought. And we kept the Greyhawk map up on the wall for years. And I honestly just used the Greyhawk map and the basic outlines of the nations it listed just as a guideline for creating whatever the hell I wanted in my own world. And we played pretty much every extended campaign that we played from, you know, whenever I bought Greyhawk, when I was 14? I don't know. From the age of 14 up through the time I stupidly sold all my stuff before I left for college. Everything was in Greyhawk. That was the only world we played. But again, not because it was Greyhawk, but because it was something that I took their map and invested my own stuff into it. I never was a big fan of Dragonlance. I read the first three books and then decided I wasn't really interested in following Dragonlance after that. Forgotten Realms, and again, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure plenty of you have played Forgotten Realms and loved it. Forgotten Realms is probably the most detailed of all the worlds from what I can tell. I always felt like Forgotten Realms was more about the books, more about the story of Forgotten Realms than it was about playing in that story. That, like the Shadowrun world, the kind of thing where if you want to get in to playing Shadowrun and you want to play an extended campaign that lasts, you know, a year or 2 years, unless you're constantly rebooting stuff, you basically have to ignore all of this setting material that keeps coming out, that keeps advancing the years. Because I could play, even playing for a year with my friends in college, 2 years we played, you know, we only went through maybe 6 months worth of game time. And yet, you know, here for Shadowrun, they're publishing more and more world story stuff, the novels that came out and the supplements and all of this stuff. And so the world has moved on another 2 years or 5 years from where, you know, so we started with an early module. So the whole world has moved on beyond that by leaps and bounds. And if we want to incorporate that material, it's just awkward. And I felt like their development of the world got in the way of my gameplay. So I just ignored it. And I feel like Forgotten Realms was a lot of that. And I don't have any conclusive proof because I never bought Forgotten Realms material. I never read any of the books. I'm just working tangentially. You can't get away from knowing a lot of stuff about Forgotten Realms if you played D&D through those years. So I know a lot of stuff about Forgotten Realms, but never actually invested a whole lot of myself into it. So therefore, I don't know anything. So I could be wrong, but that's what it felt like to me. This one is 08. Move to the top. And 08 from DM Darks. God, this is so cool. DM Darks asks me, number 3, this was the third question he submitted in this private message, apparently. What was the last song that you sang out, balls to the wall, in a car? Let me think. Because I sing a lot in the car if I have music. A lot of times I'm listening to podcasts. But if I have music, it's coming off of my own iPod, so therefore, it's always going to be something I love. I think the last time I went all out is Rosanna. No, is that the name of it? Rosanna? Yeah, Rosanna by Wax. Filthy, gorgeous, wonderful little song. Rosanna is great. If you haven't heard Rosanna by Wax, go look it up on YouTube and listen to the song. Great song. Not Safe for Work. And I love that song. And the ones that I sing the loudest in the car are the ones that I'm preparing for karaoke for generally. So, the ones that I've done at karaoke before and the ones I would be happy to do again. And this is repeat material, but who cares? I got to stop saying that, by the way, because you know what? You guys just need to accept that I'm going to talk about the same stuff over and over many times. And I got to quit apologizing for it because it just takes up time, like this little explanation. But, Weird Al's One More Minute is spectacular. I mean, if you can really put your whole self into it, I mean, you gotta rock that microphone. You gotta get all the way down to the ground with it. You gotta pour out your whole heart into this breakup song. One More Minute is an excellent one, and I will sing that at the top of my voice anytime it comes on. And of course, Ice Ice Baby, I still do that one because that's what I'm known for at karaoke. That's the one that they request from me. If I haven't gotten up on stage, someone will put in a request for my name singing Ice Ice Baby, cause they know it'll get me up there. And then, I would love to do, Sweet Home Alabama, the rap version by the group Bama, but there is no karaoke version of it that I can find. I can't find one online, and the places I've gone to sing karaoke, I've requested it and they can't find it, but I love that song and I'm really good at it. Rap songs are good because I don't have to have a great voice. I just have to be able to go fast and actually keep up with it. And so I love doing that. Same thing with One More Minute. I don't have to have a good voice as long as I'm really, really passionate about it because it's a comedy song. I can do that. So Rosanna is one that I don't do at karaoke. I have talked to my wife about it. I would love, oh God, I would so love to do Rosanna at karaoke and have her come up to do the girl part while I just sing the guy part. And I'm telling her, baby, come on, you could do this because you only have one line. You gotta say it like 6 times, but you only have one line. All right. Scattered at intervals throughout the song. That's all you gotta remember. You could do that part, right? But she won't. And once you listen to the song, you'll realize why. But it's too bad because that would be so freaking cool. I would love doing that. But yeah, that's probably the last one that I did really loud in the car. I also Sabotage, either by the Beastie Boys or by the cover, by Pamplemousse. Is that who did the cover that I do? That I used to use it as my theme song? Maybe. I can't remember. But anyway, Sabotage by the Beastie Boys. Love that one. But there's a bunch of songs I sing because I love all the songs that I have on my iPod. And, one of the first ones, by the way. If you bought Terrence Trent D'Arby's album, I don't remember which album it was. It was the one where he hit it big. So it was the only real one that hit the charts. Terrence Trent D'Arby back in 1989-ish, 88. I don't remember. I bought that and me and my roommate, we loved the Terrence Trent D'Arby album. It was that stupid poppy Wishing Well was the big hit song was the first one. And that's the one that really got us. But that whole album, every bit, we memorized every song on it. And we were driving to Florida for spring break and we had that on tape. Cassette tapes. They were, magnetic tape, in a little plastic cassette that you would pop into a music player and it would be able to read that. Kind of like an iPod, but, really, really difficult to use. And, And so we popped in Terrence Trent D'Arby while we're on our way to Florida, and it was getting to be the middle of the night because we were going to drive straight through, and we were getting so tired and kind of punchy, and we sang the entire album beginning to end. And I mean, we screamed that album. It was gorgeous. We had such a good time with it. And because of that, yeah, I don't know if Terrence Trent D'Arby's music is good or not. I can't tell. I don't think it is, but it doesn't make any difference because I love every song on that album. Any of them come up, I will sing along because it takes me back to that night and it was really good stuff. Yeah, that's it. 87. 87 is from, God, I gotta move faster, people. 87 is from Zimny. Zimny says, what is your favorite type of orc? That is an excellent question. Right now, my favorite type of orc is half-orc bard, because that's my character in Pathfinder, and I love her. Dothan is the greatest character I've ever made. I love playing her. We play tonight. Tonight, I cannot wait. Gonna have a great time. We just hit this great, dramatic, story part that advances the plot where Eliahad, the halfling, has now revealed to us his connection to our potential murder suspect that we're looking for and blah, blah, blah. And it's all dramatic and my character's in tears and we've had this big scene and it's great. That's where we're picking up tonight. Can't wait to do it. In general, my favorite kind of orc is the orcs that I developed for my Ulok setting. Ulok is the Nexus city, the city at the crossroads where, just to give the real quick summary, Ulok is a city where there is a huge, powerful artifact that is like some linchpin of the universe, and nobody knows exactly what this artifact is or does, but it's there and it's permanent and it can't be moved. And so therefore, representatives from all the planes, representatives, you know, the various demons and archdevils and the gods of law and good and everybody sends representatives there to kind of keep an eye and make sure nobody else is messing with it. We know that this is this important nexus. And so everyone's got representatives there that camp out. Well, over millennia, these encampments of ambassadors to the nexus, have built up into an actual city. And so now that it's this crossroads city where there's all sorts of stuff. It was my excuse for any weird, bizarre mashup hybrid character, any kind of crazy thing that you wanted to put in, you'll find it somewhere in the city of Ulok. It was an excuse for me to start taking the race and class building guides, from Pathfinder and D&D and start putting together weird templates, on races to make, you know, to come up with the two-headed flame-breathing gnomes, to come up with the part celestial halflings with shape changer abilities, any crazy thing you wanted to put together, you could put it together and it would be logically fit somewhere into the Ulok setting. It's a great set. I'm really proud of it. I wish I had more developed on it, but anyway. The orcs that I developed for Ulok are straight up orcs. I didn't add any templates to them. I didn't do anything weird with them, but I created a society for them that they're essentially lawful neutral. And they are, normally, you know, orcs are not nearly this organized. Normally they're really rough. They're kind of brutal. But in this particular society, they are led by the, evil ogre lich, Grumdi. And Grumdi is hugely powerful, but for him, it's all about keeping order. For him, it's all about keeping everyone in line. I mean, yes, he has his own nefarious plans, and yes, he's evil, and yes, he makes a great master villain. That's what I created him for, and he's wonderful at that, but he has sent out his descendants and his people, his ogres, and they've mixed with the orcs, and they've kind of organized them, and they're keeping them in line, and so really, even though he's evil, his people aren't necessarily. They're lawful neutral. And so they make these great workers and they make, so you see, you know, squads of them coming into the city to do manual labor and they're considered to be extremely effective, extremely reliable. And they do tend to have a little ogre blood in them. So, Orogs are common. You get to see the bigger, stronger types. And it also means I have good excuse to, if I need to boost up the stats of an orc, I can just say, oh, well, he's got little Grumdi's old blood in him and he's still, And they were just, they're great. They're great. I love them. I love the visual of them as something, so different from the normal, brutish, you know, pig-faced, cruel nature of the orcs that we've usually seen. I like having that variation on them. There's something about them that was really cool. And again, they're tied to my master villain. They're tied to all this stuff, and they're integrated so well into the city, and it was just really cool. Those are my favorite orcs, and I can't even remember the name I gave to them. Some variation on Grumdi's name, the Grumish, I think. Grumish orcs. So those would be my favorite orcs, because I made them, and they're awesome that way. But I have hit my hour. We're done with the Pod-O-Matic. Nothing left to do for this show, but have GLaDOS give us a quick rundown.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2014 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week is, which ones did I do? She Blinded Me with Science, as performed by William Shatner. And that's it. All of this song are available on iTunes. Check it out. Buy it. Enjoy it. I wouldn't include it in my podcast if I didn't love it. That song by William Shatner, She Blinded Me with Science. I do. I actually have it in my favorites list, and I listen to it all the time. Love that song. If you feel like doing something nice for this podcast, you head on over to iTunes and write me a nice review of this episode. I would really appreciate that. Not that my rankings are all that important, because I don't have enough listeners yet, but someday that's going to matter. Or you can check out my Facebook page at facebook.com/nerdprideradio. You stop at the Facebook page and click like, just 9 seconds out of your day. Or follow me on Twitter at nerdprideradio. Don't forget to check out the free games that I have available on my free games page. Instant Game, Animal Ball Melee, Sandbox Hill, 2/3 of a dozen others, all free, all the time. If you want to contact me, you can always email me at mike@nerdprideradio.com, and I promise I will actually respond to you. But to be honest, the very best way to talk to me is come over, sign up for forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. You sign up there, you send me a private message, we'll hang out together, we'll be best friends for life. We will have fun. All right. Now it's time for, I got to have a name for this segment, but what does the forum have to say while I'm recording? An hour ago when I first hit record, I put up a little post online that said, hey, I'm recording. What do you want to add? So Talvin says, the zombie apocalypse has hit and you need to hunker down and survive. What equipment is on your list to survive in zombie land? I've actually been doing a lot of discussion about this lately. I need a good strong blade, preferably one of my swords from downstairs. I have a nice katana downstairs, and then whatever you call that little shorter one that goes with it. One of you knows the name of it. I know you do. I have those swords, that would be really good for zombie killing. They're real swords, real steel, but they're not sharp, which leads me to the next important thing that I need. I really need a knife sharpener. I'm going to go down to Walmart. I'm going to go down to a sporting goods store. And when I raid them, I am going to make sure that I steal a knife sharpening kit, because I don't own one, but I need something to sharpen blades. That's going to be really, really important, because I'm going to be using these things a lot, because the bullets are going to run out eventually. I would certainly love to have some guns and some bullets. That would certainly be awesome. But again, the noise attracts more zombies, so you got to be careful with them. And again, the bullets are going to run out eventually. That's just going to happen, because everybody in the world, everybody is going to get themselves some guns. You know what else we don't see, by the way, a lot? Is we don't see people killing zombies and then taking the guns off of them. You know what? Lots of zombies should be carrying guns. They should have a gun in their belt, in their pocket. They should have guns on. Although I guess, no, most zombies, probably people wound up dying with their gun out, because they were trying to fend off the horde of zombies, and they probably dropped the gun and then became a zombie and wandered away. So, yeah, they probably wouldn't have guns on them. That would be kind of sad to find a guy who's still got his guns on him and he still got hit because he never even drew the thing. That would suck. But, yeah, I'd like to have guns and as much ammo as possible, but that's going to run out eventually. I would love to have a nice armored vehicle, something heavy duty, something that they can't smash the windows on, something that they're not going to be able to break through this vehicle. It would be nice to have something I can hide in and not be visible. But again, with any vehicle, you're going to run out of gas eventually. All right, and this is another thing that they never hit in any of the zombie movies, or any post-apocalyptic movie for that matter, is after about 2 years, 3 years, most of the gas out there is going to be unusable. All right, it gets moisture in it, it degrades, you're just not going to have any gas. At the 5 year mark, you're never finding gas again. All right, but certainly, you know, first year, you're probably going to be all right. Second year, you can maybe get by. That's going to be about it. All right. So I also need, a good bicycle. I mean, a good sturdy bicycle, something that can go off road, but also, that I can pedal and that I isn't going to take too much maintenance when I go screwing it up because I'm going to screw it up. Cause that's the other problem. Can I get a bike with solid tires on it? I mean, you know, I can raid Walmart for a bunch of spare inner tubes. And some patch kits, the green goop that goes inside the tire, blah, blah, blah. But honestly, I think I might be better off just raiding places for solid tires when I can get them. I really, because at least a solid tire, you know when it's wearing down, you know when your tread's gone, when you're starting to, you know when you're going to need to replace that. Whereas an inflated tire, you're in the middle of an emergency and suddenly you've got a flat tire and you're riding on rims. You might as well ditch it and start running at that point. Jesus, that's going to suck. But, you know, obviously, you know, water, some nice emergency meals from the military. That would be awesome if you could get them. Get some survival rations out there, stuff like that. But you know, eventually you're going to have to rebuild society. You need seeds. You need hard to decide what you need in your survival kit to take you with you this moment. I mean, if we're talking – the zombie apocalypse has just now hit, then give me my big sword, give me my big gun, and give me a vehicle I can get the hell away on, and I'm great. But long term, I'm going to need more. It's going to take a lot of planning. We should start a list on the boards and really work this stuff out. Ronster answers and says, hit Twinkies! Well, duh, anything to keep Woody Harrelson happy. Seriously. Tallahassee, greatest character in a zombie movie ever. I love Zombieland. I have watched it 7 or 8 times. It is unbelievably ridiculous at so many parts, but so cleverly done and so much fun. I don't care how stupid his final standoff scene in the carnival shack is. I don't care how stupid and unrealistic that is, even for a zombie movie. I could watch that forever. For me, watching him do that, it's the exact same type of scene and the exact same feeling I get watching the crossing the lobby to get to the elevator scene from The Matrix. I could watch that forever. I know it's stupid, and the more you watch it, the more you can see the flaws in the special effects, and you can see where stuff is not quite where it should be. I don't care. Great scenes. Love that stuff. Let's see what else. Ronster adds, I think a dragon would be the ultimate anti-zombie assault vehicle. Wow. Yeah, you know what? No, seriously, if I could get a dragon, are dragons immune to zombieism? I hope so. If I could get a dragon, yeah, oh, dude, I will replace my bicycle with a dragon if you give me that option. Absolutely. Ronster then adds, I so can't wait to download this episode. Thanks, Mike, for all the fun you bring to the world. You might want to mention the dung beetle and its ability to navigate by the stars, courtesy of Today I Found It. I saw that one too. I read or heard. That was one of the podcasts, I think. And yeah, the dung beetle actually, they was talking about various creatures and how they navigate, and navigating by the stars is how the dung beetle does it. Amazing to me. All right. And they were able to test this by putting them in various lighting conditions and putting them in conditions where they had the same lighting, but sometimes they can see the sky, sometimes they can't. And it turns out dung beetles, honest to God, orient themselves by the stars. There are other animals that do it by, simple memory, depending on the distance. There are some animals that do it, by aligning themselves with the magnetic field of the earth. There's all sorts of ways you can do stuff, but seriously, dung beetle, who we didn't even think their eyes could determine what the stars were, that they have no, their visual field doesn't include being able to see stars in the sky. They just don't have the acuity for it. And yet, it's the stars. Go figure. Then Ronster adds, "Hey, Palpatine, how would you describe the Eskimo peoples?" Inuit. 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 Yeah, it's hard to get the emphasis right, but I like that one. Clever. And that's the end. Say goodbye, R2.